This is the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. You know, some days there is just so much to talk about in the news that you just have to do another edition of the Truth Hurts program. And that's what this is, my friends. Thursday, the 18th day of April, 2024. From the You Just Can't Make This Stuff Up file, I am going to read to you and pepper it with some of my own commentary, an article that I read this morning that made me literally spit out my orange juice. Joe Biden has said that he believes his uncle may have been eaten by cannibals after he claims his uncle's plane was shot down over Papua New Guinea during the Second World War. Now, for those of you who are geographically challenged, Papua New Guinea is a small island nation near Australia and New Zealand in the Pacific Ocean. The folks there speak with a kind of a, you know, Australian accent sometimes. Yeah. But anyway, the U.S. President Joe Biden, the clown in the White House in the United States right now, his theory says that his uncle was shot down in a single-engine aircraft carrying three people during World War II over Papua New Guinea, and that his uncle was eaten by cannibals. Supposedly during World War II, there was no radio communications in those airplanes like there are today, where the pilot says to the air traffic controller, I'm coming in, or I've got engine trouble, or I've been shot, or what have you. So there's no official record of what happened to Uncle Bozy. Joe Biden put his hand on the engraved name of Lieutenant Finnegan, who he calls Uncle Bozy, at the Missing in Action Memorial. Joe Biden said, my Uncle Bozy, he was a hell of an athlete, they tell me, when he was a kid. He became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He became an entire Air Corps. He didn't join the Army Air Corps. Biden says he was the Army Air Corps. He became an Army Air Corps, Joe Biden said, before the Air Force came along. He said his Uncle Bozy flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. According to the official war records, however, Lieutenant Finnegan was not flying the plane that disappeared. It was not a single-engine plane, as Joe Biden has lied. It was not shot down at all, and it didn't happen over Papua New Guinea. Investigators found no evidence that Uncle Bozy survived the crash or that he encountered any cannibals or any other inhabitants of the Pacific Islands, for that matter. In fact, according to the official record, the plane experienced engine failure. Lieutenant Finnegan, Uncle Bozy, was not the pilot. He was just one of the guys on board. It experienced engine failure to its two engines. The report of a missing aircraft was filed to the U.S. War Department on May 17, 1994, according to our official National Archives, which collates historical U.S. government documents. It registers that there were three crew members and one passenger, and the passenger was identified as Lieutenant Finnegan on board. It was listed that Uncle Bozy was a courier. The pilot of that plane was actually First Lieutenant Harold R. Prince, who was accompanied by an Army Air Corps gunner and an Army Air Corps engineer. They don't even list Uncle Bozy as a crewman. He was just a courier. Further reports submitted by pilots who went looking for that missing plane said there was no trace found of Lieutenant Prince's plane or the crew. A separate Pentagon investigation concluded the plane suffered engine failure. The report by the Defense POW/MIA accounting agency says, quote, for unknown reasons, this twin-engine plane was forced to ditch in the ocean far off the coast of New Guinea. Both engines failed at low altitude. The aircraft's nose hit the water hard. Referring to Finnegan, the report added, he has not been associated with any remains recovered from the area after the war and is still listed as unaccounted for. Biden's recollection of the so-called facts have been repeatedly highlighted by critics during his entire presidency. Notably, when Robert Hur, the special counsel, recently characterized Biden as, quote, an elderly man with a poor memory, unquote. in a Justice Department report back in February. Joe Biden believes his uncle may have been eaten by cannibals. Joe Biden believes his uncle was shot down and that his uncle was the pilot of a single-engine plane. However, none of those things are true. The U.S. president's theory is contradicted by the official war records of Lieutenant Ambrose J. Finnegan's death, which suggests his aircraft suffered engine failure and that he was not flying it. Joe Biden, though, lied, embellished the story, as he always does, by saying, quote, "Uncle Bosey flew single-engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals in New Guinea at the time. They never recovered his body, but the government went back. When I went down there and checked, they found some parts of the plane and the like." Of course, the official reports, as I just told you, said they never found any of the remains of the plane. For all we know, Uncle Bosey and the crew simply deserted and left the area. We don't know. Uncle Bosey was not a war hero. He wasn't eaten by cannibals. He wasn't the pilot that Joe Biden lied and claimed he was. This is your president who can't even tell the truth about dead family members. This is the same guy who said that his son Beau died in combat in Afghanistan and he was never there. He died of a brain tumor in the United States. Perhaps Joe Biden's been doing a lot of cocaine with Hunter Biden, his other son. The son who, after the older son Beau died of brain cancer, the younger Hunter Biden shacked up with the widow of Beau Biden, had sex with the dead guy's wife. That's the kind of family that's in the White House. And they have the nerve to talk about Donald Trump allegedly paying hush money to a porn star, a woman who obviously takes her clothes off for men for money, having sex on camera. Come on, man, as Joe Biden would say. His uncle got eaten by cannibals. Oh, I can just imagine it now.
Hey, laddies, we're going to be war heroes, aren't we?
Yeah, Finn. Or do you prefer to be called Bosey? Okay, Bosey it is. Pilot to gunner, it looks like there's nobody out here at all today. Old Bosey's gonna get a free reconnaissance ride today as a courier in the clear skies over the water, eh, boys?
Yes, sir, Mr. Pilot. Nothing out here but blue skies.
Oh, crap. Holy hell, what was that? Have we been shot down?
Hold on to your skivvies, Bosey. It's just turbulence. There's not another plane or a ship for 100 miles.
Flight engineer to pilot, we've got engine failure in both props. It looks like we're going down hard.
Hey, we're gonna ditch, Bosey. Probably get eaten by sharks.
Yeah, but one day, my nephew Scrappy Joe will be president, and he'll tell the whole world that we battled Nazis, got shot down, and got eaten by cannibals.
Or perhaps...
Look, baby shark, there's an American plane that just went down. Let's go munch on some Bosey butt. I hear it's real tender this time of year.
But if Joe Biden thinks it was cannibals that ate his uncle, maybe the story went more like this.
Meanwhile, on the island of Papua New Guinea.
Ugh, me cannibal. Look for American hero to munch on. Oh look, airplane wash on shore. This guy's name is Finnegan. Will we have Irish stew tonight? Hey, other cannibal, let's just eat this Irish guy right here on the beach. I'll start at the head, you start at the feet. How are you enjoying your Irishman?
I'm having a ball!
Well, then you better slow down. You're eating too fast.
Sorry, I just could not resist the old cannibal joke. Meanwhile, Joe Biden, apparently, is now denying, the White House is denying, and a humanitarian aid organization is denying anything to do with some flyers that have been discovered in migrant assistance locations, both on our side of the Mexican-U.S. border and on the Mexico side. Is Joe Biden flying high in Mexico? Is he pandering for illegal votes? It sure looks that way. An advocacy group based in northeastern Mexico that lobbies U.S. lawmakers has distributed and posted flyers encouraging illegal, criminal, law-breaking, trespassing, invading alien migrants to vote for President Joe Biden in the 2024 election. This, according to the Heritage Foundation's Oversight Project. Translated from Spanish, The flyers posted by the organization Resource Center Matamoros says, quote, "Reminder to vote for President Biden when you are in the United States. We need another 4 years of his term to stay open." Resource Center Matamoros describes itself as a leading non-governmental organization providing trauma-informed care. Now, federal law in the U.S. bans foreign nationals or non-U.S. citizens from voting in federal elections. On Friday, former President Donald Trump endorsed proposed legislation by House Speaker Mike Johnson that would require proof of citizenship in order to vote in U.S. elections. This organization, called Resource Center Matamoros, describes itself as, quote, "the home for HIAS, which is providing legal assistance and assistance with obtaining formal documents for job search and integration into the city of Matamoros as they wait to access the asylum process in the U.S., unquote. HIAS was founded more than 100 years ago, and the acronym originally stood for Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. I guess it should now stand for Hispanic Immigrant Aid Society, right? Meanwhile, embattled U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas, a Biden appointee who was recently impeached by the House for not enforcing border laws, turns out old Alejandro is a former board member of HIAS, the company behind the Resource Center Matamoros, who is supposedly the author and distributor of those posters encouraging illegal immigrants to vote for Biden. Those pro-Biden flyers discovered by the news site Muckraker were shared with the Oversight Project, and they were found throughout the Resource Center Matamoros in Tampulis, Mexico, including on the walls of portable toilets. Video evidence has been posted online. Now, it is not clear whether the Resource Center Matamoros authorized the flyers or whether any action was taken to address the presence of those flyers at their shelters for migrants. It's also not clear who actually posted the flyers. But if it's on your property and you walk on your property every day and you look around on your property and you see those flyers and you don't take them down, sounds like you're pretty responsible to me. The city of Matamoros borders Brownsville, Texas, where gropey Joe Biden himself spoke in February about the crisis of illegal immigration at the southern border, contradicting his earlier statements that there is no crisis at the southern border. But like I said before, this smells of Democrat Party rat activity. The flyer obviously seeks to prey on unsophisticated illegals and encourages them to illegally vote, is what the Heritage Foundation wrote on one of its social media posts. The Heritage Foundation, a conservative group, also published a short audio clip of a person named Zavala having a conversation with an unidentified Hispanic male. The male says he is trying to help as many people as possible before Trump, the presumptive Republican presidential nominee, gets reelected. Zavala could be heard saying, quote, "Believe me, we're in the same boat." The 9-second exchange did not include any further mention of voting or elections, and this individual did not answer any detailed questions about that exchange. She told the AP that her organization does not support political campaigns for or against candidates because she said that would be outside the scope of their mission. I guess this Zavala person is a spokesperson for that organization. The organization says they did not create flyers urging migrants to vote for President Joe Biden, even though those flyers were filmed at their shelters in a viral video that sparked a firestorm of outrage this week. Accusations that Resource Center Matamoros was encouraging non-citizens to vote gained momentum after online posts displayed the Spanish-language flyers, specifically instructing migrants to vote illegally for Joe Biden after they arrive in the U.S. The flyers contain the logo of that organization, even though the organization denies making those. Gabby Zavala is the Resource Center Matamoros founder, I have found out. The Associated President says she doesn't know who made them, and she says they don't encourage immigrants to register to vote or to cast ballots. Despite the flyers' uncertain origins, claims about them proliferated online this week. Videos and still photos of them being posted both in the U.S. as well as in Mexico have surfaced. House Republicans raised those questions during their questioning of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, who used to be a board member. This, of course, proves what I have been saying all along. If there has indeed been any election interference from foreign entities, it is being done on behalf of the Democrats and not on behalf of the Republicans or Donald Trump. Andy Sanders writes in the publication State of the Union, "The U.S. economy is more wobbly than it seems, and Biden's lie is not helping." Two experts expressed concerns about the stability of the U.S. economy despite the outward signs of growth being projected by Biden. Steve Forbes noted that gold and commodity prices suggest dollar weakness. Rising interest rates will depress the economy. Kevin Hassett pointed out that strong retail sales in March were partly due to Joe Biden's higher gasoline and diesel prices, meaning consumers actually had less to spend elsewhere. And he calls the economy more wobbly than the manufactured data being put out by the Biden administration might suggest. The Fed has problems ahead, and you don't cure it by raising interest rates and depressing the economy, Steve Forbes said. The gold price, commodity prices are telling us the dollar is wobbly. Both of these financial experts attributed high inflation to Joe Biden's administration's economic policies, arguing it acts as a greater tax on low-income Americans who are paying higher prices and higher interest. They claim the White House lacks commitment to the economy, and they rightfully accused Biden administration officials about lying on inflation for political goals rather than addressing Bidenomics inflation's actual negative economic impacts. The ex-Council of Economic Advisers chair, Mr. Hassett, said, quote, "One of the reasons why retail sales appeared so strong is they were really blockbuster sales at gas stations. The AAA average price in the U.S. went from $3.30 last month to over $3.60 this month, and that's money that people don't have to spend on other things. Therefore, I think the economy is more wobbly than the data reflects." Steve Forbes said inflation is a tax, and who gets hurt the most? We know who they are. Tens of millions of people living paycheck to paycheck and up to their eyeballs in credit card debt with interest rates going up. We've discussed it here before. What is the real rate of inflation? It's not 3%. It's 7% when you cut in interest payments, and you have to pay that interest every month. So Joe Biden's taxing the people who have the least, yet he's babbling on about getting to the rich. All this is not about revenue. It's about control. It's not about growth. It's about Joe Biden controlling people's lives. Hassett says, "Your job, Mr. Biden, is to help run the economy and have smart policies. If you want more progressive taxation, then you could talk about how to do that without harming the economy. But just to lie about it the way they do over and over, it is really frustrating." Truer words spoken by guys who really know what they're talking about. Meanwhile, Caleb Naismith writes in the publication Benzinga, "Biden promised IRS funding would not increase audits for regular Americans, as the IRS audits the poorest Americans five times more often than others. Once it was announced by Joe Biden that the IRS would be receiving $80 billion in additional funding as part of the ill-named Inflation Reduction Act, the Biden administration sought to reassure regular average Americans that these funds would not make them more likely to get audited by the IRS. Ancient Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, said individuals and small businesses making under $400,000 a year would not see audit rates increase. And even a very recent White House press release highlighted how much of the funds are dedicated to closing the tax gap by specifically enforcing tax compliance by the wealthiest tax evaders. Well, data from Syracuse University's Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse, known as TRAC, a nonpartisan data provider focused on federal government agencies, shows that, in fact, the poorest Americans, especially those requesting the Earned Income Tax Credit, have a much higher risk of getting audited by the IRS. TRAC analyzed 2021 tax returns and found that annual earners of less than $25,000 a year were five times more likely to get audited than everyone else. They also found that 13% of these returns claiming the EIC were audited, increasing even higher to 13.5% in 2022. Meanwhile, barely over 1% of millionaires received an IRS audit in 2022. Sounds like Joe Biden and Janet Yellen are lying after taking $80 million, or was that $80 billion? Let's see. $80 billion in Inflation Reduction Act increased funding for the IRS. So, I wonder if the mainstream, leftist, progressive, liberal, woke media is going to tell all of those poor, minority, low-income folks that they are going to get audited 5 times more than the average American and 30 times more, if not more than that, than millionaires in America. They lied. The Biden administration lied to you poor people. Some politicians have gone so far as to call for the elimination of the IRS, including Ron DeSantis of Florida. He prefers, as Steve Forbes once said, a flat tax that gives all taxpayers the same rate and does away with the current tax code altogether. You realize if a millionaire gets taxed 10%, he has to give away, if he has $1 million in income, he has to give away $100,000. If a guy making $100,000 a year has to pay that same 10%, he only pays $10,000. And if a part-time whopper flopper at the local BK Lounge makes $10,000 a year, he only has to give $1,000. And here's the catch. The whopper flopper is more likely to use more government services for his $1,000 yearly investment in the government than the millionaire will ever use in government services. Why? Because the millionaire will send his children not to public schools, therefore that money won't be needed, and he probably will not be using public transportation. Think about it. This is the Truth Hurts program. Now, I know when you were little, you always said, one day, I want to grow up and be a millionaire. A lot of people said that. And it's hard to believe, and it's one of those cases where definitions mean everything. But right now, according to an article that I am reading by Steve Goldstein in the publication Market Watch, if you consider yourself an average American family, you are a millionaire. According to the Federal Reserve's latest authoritative survey of consumer finances, with the asterisks attached, of course, here's the data. The mean net worth of the average American household adjusting for inflation was $1.06 million last year. Compared with 2019, the figure was up 23%, boosted by rising house prices and a surging bubble stock market. Here comes the asterisks, the buts. The median, as opposed to the mean, the net worth of the typical American household is only $192,900. That figure still represents an impressive after Joe Biden inflation gain of 34% over the previous 3 years, but it's more in line with what everyday experience might suggest. The median household refers to the group smack in the middle of the rankings. But the average, the mean, gets boosted by billionaires like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. American households by income in the top percent have a net worth, on average, of $6.63 million, according to the Federal Reserve. Showing the massive importance of home ownership in order to amass wealth, those who own their own residence has an average net worth of about $1.53 million, compared with $155,000 net worth for renters. It's pretty simple. If you live in one of those high-cost housing areas and you own your own $665,000 home and you make $100,000 a year, well, you're 3/4 of the way there to being a millionaire. Add the value of your vehicles, maybe a boat, an RV, and a little bit of savings in the bank. It's easy to see why they're calling you a millionaire. But in Joe Biden's Bidenomics economy, you are living at a much worse standard of living than you were just 4 short years ago, when prices were much lower, inflation was much lower, interest rates were much lower, the cost of everything in your life was much lower. So would you rather be calling yourself a Biden millionaire and be broke, or just be an average American under Donald Trump and be able to live a much more comfortable lifestyle? It's just the math, and you have to figure it out. This is the Truth Hurts program. Biden's inflation still matters to swing state voters, according to Newsweek's Steve Cortez. It seems the so-called experts on the economy cannot understand or even accept the financial despondency of the American people, especially those of modest means. From academics to media mavens to Biden campaign messaging, the incredibly condescending ruling class sermon has been this: you just don't understand that you are actually doing well. But you're not. The average American is doing far worse now financially than they were 4 years ago when Donald Trump was the president. And last week's Consumer Price Index inflation report poured a lot of cold water on the myth that prices are lower. The fact is, prices are rising. Last month alone by 3.5% more. The headline number was the worst in 6 months at a very hot 3.5% annualized inflation rate that surprised and shocked economists and prediction models. But the inflationary facts, the details, the numbers, the figures were much worse. Housing costs shot higher at a scorching 5.7% increase. Car insurance premiums went up 22.2%. Financial markets were shocked by these facts. The stock market had its worst weekly performance of the year, and interest rates spiked again on the news. The Treasury benchmark U.S. yield rose to 4.57%, more than four times higher than the 1.09% interest rate when Donald Trump was the president. This data set comes as no surprise to you, to me, to regular Americans, especially middle class and lower income Americans. Those economic strivers know that they're working harder each week, only to get poorer and poorer each week. They're shocked and appalled at the prices they have to now pay for basic necessities like groceries, medicine, and fuel for their automobiles. The latest battleground state polling proves the point. The League of American Workers just surveyed the key swing state of Wisconsin, and polling from North Star Opinion Research sampled 600 likely voters, evenly split between Donald Trump and Joe Biden in 2020 voters. The top line number shows that Trump won by 1% in a multi-candidate field in Wisconsin, where Biden prevailed in 2020 by only 20,000 votes out of more than 3.2 million cast. On the economic issues, the disenchantment with Biden intensifies, while the upside potential for Trump becomes more and more clear. On one key question, quote, were you better off under Trump or Biden, unquote, Donald Trump has a commanding 54-39 point lead. Amongst undecided voters, 16% said that they were better off with Biden, and the remaining said they were much better off with Donald Trump. Of course, the main culprit causing the economic gloom is Joe Biden's Bidenomics, the stubborn, vexing inflation that he has brought about since his first week in office. Only 30% of those in the survey in Wisconsin said that their incomes have even kept pace with rising inflation costs. And when the survey asked about grocery prices, saying the president deserves a great deal of blame, 42%, and some blame, 21%, going to Joe Biden. That's a total of 63%. The elevated costs for basic items explain the gap between what economists and market traders see regarding inflation as opposed to the on-the-ground view of consumers. Short-term oriented speculators in the stock market and economists are focusing on the pace of inflation, hoping it will ease off of the record high 9.1% brought about by Biden earlier. Regular citizens, however, take a much longer view of the economy, realizing that Biden's net prices are far higher than when Donald Trump was in office, and even trying to keep pace of the increases, well, it's perfectly impossible. You paid $10 for a tuna sandwich at a lunch takeout place in 2021 at the beginning of the year, and now it costs over $11.80. Sure, that tuna sandwich rose by only 3.1% in that year, but over the three-year period of Joe Biden, it has gone up almost 20%. The sting of Joe Biden's inflation persists, voter economic anxiety continues, and it looks like Joe Biden is losing the economic battle. All right, gang, I've run out of time for this cannibal edition of the Truth Hurts program. Eat your heart out, Joe Biden. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye for now. Thank you for listening to the Truth Hurts program. Opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. We apologize if you are offended, but we retract nothing. Background music by Jason Shaw and Audionautix. Copyright 2024, the Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved.